Moshe, we'll look at Melechas Bona today. Just more or less be, this would normally be an introduction. The Mishnah establishes that Boner Kamayivna V'Yechayev HaBoner Kol Shehu. So the Sugya explains, what's Kol Shehu? The Gemara says an Ani digs a small guma, he puts in his pennies there, and the Mishkan, the Tofer Yerios, would dig a guma and put in their machtin. And then the Gemara offers another possibility, that an Ani would make a pitpute kira, kira ktana, and in the Mishkan, the Mavashli Simonim, if they ran out of dye, they would make pitpute kira ktana. And finally, the Gemara gives another answer, that if you have a hole in your roof and you plug up the hole, that's also bone kolshu. What's clear in all these three cases is that he establishes something functional, whether it's a place for him to hide something, or he's able to make his dyes on the place, whether he's able to make the roof solid so that he won't have the rains falling, and whatever it is, he accomplishes a goal, even though the binyan itself is not that large of a binyan. He hasn't done much. He has a little guma here, or he puts a laver inside the hole, but nevertheless, it has a substantial accomplishment. We could say it's a meleches tikkun. What I'd like to do with you today is look at the threefold machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and try to determine how the Rambam paskens. So the Gemara, first of all, has the case of Mesates, and Rav says Yechai Mishum Bone, Shmuel says Yechai Mishum Makav Patish. Then you have Ha'ose Nekev Belul Shel Tarnagolim, Rav says Yechai Mishum Bone, and Shmuel says Yechayev Mishum Makav Patish. And then the third case is Ayel Shufta Bekupina Demara. And Rashi explains that he puts the peg in to connect the shovel to its handle. And again, Rav says, Yechayev Mishum Bone. And Shmuel says, Yechayev Mishum Makav Patish. Utsricha. And we need all three cases. The Iashmin and Kamaisa, Bahikama Rav, Mishum, the Derech Binyon Bakach. Rashi explains that in order to use these stones for a binyon, they won't fit properly unless you smoothen them out. So that's called Derech Binyon. Aval, but in the second case, of Ose Nekev Belul Shel Tarnagolim, there it's Ein Derech Binyan Bekach. He's just puncturing a little hole in the chicken coop. That's not called Derech Binyan. Then the Gemara says that if we only had the case of Nekev Belul Shel Tarnagolim, that's where Rav says Yechai Mishum Meleches Boneh. The dummy lebinyan. When you build a structure, you need avir. You need the air coming in. You can't live and choke to death. And in the case of the chickens, they need some air coming in. They'll choke. So that's called dummy lebinyan. When you look at the structure, what's a structure with there's no air coming in? I will shuft the kumina tomorrow. Ain't there binyan bekach? Where would you find in binyan that somebody puts a peg in order to attach two pieces? That's not called derech binyan. Then the Gemara says that you can make all the different combinations. If you only had this one, if you only had that one, you need all three cases. Tosis in Dibra Maskel Kolshu, he says, why was the Gemara looking to the Mishkan to find a precedent for Binyan Kolshu? In Hotza, we don't find such a thing. And he says that in the case of Hotza, clearly, whatever he takes out, even if it's a small amount, it's necessary, it's meaningful, and therefore, Al Pi Svar Yechayev. You don't have to look to the Mishkan and see a case of Hotza Kold. But in the case of Binyan, where he hardly does anything, where do you find a Binyan Koldu in the Mishnah? In the Mishkan, excuse me? Where do you find in the Mishkan that it wasn't just that they were building the Krushim, you know, attaching them to the Adonim, and creating a whole structure? And the answer is that we found it. Let's say in the last case, if there was a hole in the roof of the Mishkan, or wherever it was, in the Krushim, they would, sometimes they had a tolas that ate away, a termite. So they filled it in. Then Tosus asks a different question. The Mishnah is a little bit odd, because according to Rav, Misates is Chayev Mishum Leches Bone. And then Kodeach is Chayev Mishum Leches Bone. That's Rav Shita. So Tos wants to know, why did the Mishnah wedge in the middle Makab Patish? Truth is, it's not much better according to Shmuel. Because according to Shmuel, even if Kodeach is Chayev Mishum Makab Patish, it's a little bit odd, because he starts with Misates, and then he goes on to Kodeach, and in the middle he has Ma'atzeh. I mean, also it doesn't flow very well. Tosis Lul Shel Tarnagolim, Delo Choshev Le Shmuel Bonin. According to Shmuel, a Nekev B'Lul Shel Tarnagolim is not Choshev enough. Why not? After all, the Tarnagolim are going to die if you don't make some sort of an opening in the lul. Omeri, Mishum de lo choshiv lahai pesach osui lahachnis ulahotzi. Is the Re says the following, that it's not enough just to puncture a hole in the lul, although that might bring in the air. But it's not large enough, it's not significant enough to allow the hevel, the foul air, to exit from the tarnagol, from the lul. So Tosfos establishes here, it's a new halacha, we'll try to analyze it, that in order for something to constitute a pesach for a chiyuv boneh, it's got to be what kind of Pesach?
Lachnas Lachnas Lachnas. The Sugin Kuf Mem Vav says that we're guys are making a negative koshu and a kli atu lul shel tarnagolim because it is the Lachnas Lachnas.
Right.
So what do we? So what is it? So what is
why
it?
Is that only to Rabbanon, not to Reis, you mean?
No, I'm saying any kli, we're not allowed to, we're not being negative nekev is usher because of lul shel tarnagolim. Mashma lul shel tarnagolim is a case of a kli which is the Lachnas Lachnas. So I just don't understand.
So there's a whole long discussion here. I don't know if we'll get to it today in the Marsha and the Marshal. But let's. I just want to focus on the Machlokas. So what is the Machlokas here between Rav and Shmuel? So I want to begin with the Tshuva, the Radbaz. The Radbaz says the following, that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel regarding Lul Shel Tarnagolim is a case of what he calls a Nekev Katan. A Nekev Katan, and this fits into Tosus's frame of reference that we just saw, is only Lahachnis Or. It's large enough to bring light in from the outside. But it's not large enough to bring the hevel out of the lul. Rav says in such a case, because it's a nekev katan, and it's only lahachnis or, you cannot be chayev for makabu patish. You can only be chayav mishum melechas bona. Makabu patish, says Radbaz, requires a gemar melacha. You've got to complete the melacha. And as long as this nekev is not large enough to bring the hevel from inside outside, it's not gemar melacha. If the hevel could not exit from a small hole, then even though it brings light into the lul, that's not called gemar melacha. Oh. Now, the problem is that Rav says in the case of nekev shel lul, although you're not chayav mishumaka bepatish, because again the hevel cannot exit through this nekev katan the way the Radbaz says it, but now the Radbaz asks himself the following question. So according to Rav, are you not chayav at all? Rav says you chayav mishum bone. So Radbaz says we have two sugis in Shas, one in Shabbos and one in Beitzah, both of which establish that ein binyan ustira bekelim. First, let's review quickly the sugyan Shabbos daf kuf chav beis amid beis. That's the case of hachzoras deles b'shida teva u'migdal, and these are kelim, and he returns the door onto these kelim. So the Gemara records machlokas between Abaye v'Rava. According to Abaye, he's chayav mishum melechas bone. He made a structural change in the shida, and Rava says no, ein binyan ustira bekelim. And we have halacha that whenever there's machlokas between Abaye and Rava, we pass like Rava. So ein binyan ustira bekelim. Then we have a sugin beitz on daf chav beis. And there the Gemara talks about a menorah shenofla. And according to Beis Hillel, Ma'amida B'yontiv, he's allowed to put it together. And the Gemara says it's a menorah hasuya michulios. Ukshenofla nisparku achulios. It came apart. He's allowed to reassemble it on Yontiv. Why? Because ein binyan bekelim. Beit Shammai aser it, because they hold Yesh Binyan Mikelim, but we paskin like Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai. So the Radbaz asks himself the question, why should Rav assume that you're chayav mishum boneh in the case of lul shel tarnagolim? I understand full well why you're not chayav mishum akav v'patish, because there's no gemar melacha, it's eno osui lahotzi hevel. But what about the problem of ein binyan mikelim? And the Radbaz offers three possible answers. The first is, he says, that the lul is mechubar lakarka, and therefore, it's not a kli. Second, he says it's a kli gadol, it's a large kli, it's hardly movable, and therefore, yesh binyan ustira bekelim v'lul gadol. And his third answer is that a kli she'eno osui michulios yesh binyan ustira bekelim. That the Gemara over there in Shabbos, the Gemara Beitzah about menorah, is talking about a kli that's osui michulios. There are different parts that you put together, and there the Gemara says you're not chayav mishum bona. But lo yitzur, you have a kli that's made up of one section, one part. Then chinami, everybody agrees, even Rava, even Beis Hillel, yesh binyan bekelim. All right, all this requires a lot more study. I don't know if we're going to get to it now. But in any event, the Radbaz says the following. When you make this small nekev, then the chickens might not be able to survive, because there's no possibility of hotzas hevel. It's only lahachnis or, but not lahotzi hevel. If the chickens will die, then you cannot say that you were gomer malachta shel alul. There's no possibility of being chayav mishum melechas makam epakish. What the Radbaz doesn't answer is, and maybe we could add one sentence to the Radbaz, if he'll be meichel on his kavod, is why you chay mishum makib patish. I'm sorry, why you chay mishum bona? The answer is that the difference between bona and makib patish is that whereas bona means you made a structural change and a tikkun that's part of the process of binyan. You didn't complete the process. So if you made a nekev katan, which serves this lul to bring in the avir, that itself is meleches bona. It's a change in the lul, again, whether it's mechubal karka or whatever have you, but you chayev for binyan, because of this important change that you made in the lul. Are you chayev for gemar melacha? The answer is no. Why? Because it's a neck of cotton, and the chickens might not be able to survive the lack of an exit for heaven. Just one second. So now, the floor is yours, I just want to get the picture. So now the Radbaz asks himself the question, what about Shmuel? Shmuel says on this neck of cotton that Yechayev Mishum Makav Apatish, where's the Nigmar Malachto in the case of an Echav Katan? And the Radbaz is so bothered by this that he says that a nekev katan is sufficient to take out some of the hevel. And therefore, the chickens will survive the onslaught of the hevel. The difficulty here in the Radbaz is, and I think the Radbaz himself is uncomfortable about it, is that it comes out this machlokes b'metzius. Rav is holding that even though you're going to allow the avir to come in, the or to come in, but you're not allowing the avir to go out, and therefore cannot be makav patish because the hevel is still trapped inside. The chickens are going to die. No, comes along Shmuel and says the chickens won't die. So I get, maybe we should ask the farmers, the chicken farmers, will the chickens die or not? It's a very strange machlokas. Maybe according to the Radbaz, you could say the following. That Shmuel would maintain that although this is not the normal way of completing a lul, I mean Shmuel admits to that, but as long as the lul could function as a lul, you were gomer malachto, and therefore you chayev mishum makav patish. Rav, on the other hand, says, nay. When we look at makav patish, we have to look at the way the umnum, the professionals, when they the skilled artisans, when they complete an object, what way do they do it? They're not going to make a neck of katan and just hope and pray that the chickens will survive the hevel. They're going to make a neck of gadol. But I saw in a sefer, which I want to show you later on, the Tal Oros, maybe we'll photocopy it, he quotes the Rokeach. The Rokeach was one of the Kadmonim who lived in Sfarad, and he wrote a super commentary on the Rambam. It's becoming more and more popular, even though it was written so long ago. And he says a slightly different version of Shmuel, which I found very exciting. He says that according to Shmuel, even though there's no hevel here, meaning the hevel is not going to go out because the nekev is the nekev katan, nevertheless, when we define meleches makav patish, we don't need the complete gemar melacha of the entire hefta. What we need is that in terms of its various functions, we've completed one of those various functions. Therefore, says Shmuel, according to the Tal Oros, if you have one particular function that's absolutely complete, namely, lahachnis ora, that is sufficient to engender a makav patish gemar melacha. You would gomer the melacha of this lul vis-a-vis hachnosas or, even though clearly you're going to have in mind to expand this opening in order to allow the hevel to go out. And it doesn't mean that Shmuel disagrees with Rav, the chickens might not survive the hevel, but nevertheless, when we look at the structure itself, and the various functions that the structure has to accomplish, once we can isolate one particular function and it was completed by your nekev kata, namely lahachnis ar, that itself is sufficient to engender a chiyuv of makom patish. So just to summarize, both the Radbaz and the Tal-Oros are on the same page, namely that the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel revolves around the nekev katan. We have to think, according to these achronim, what about a nekev gadol? Clearly, Rav and Shmuel would agree in that case that you chayv mishum makev patish. The question would be, are you chayv at the same time for leches bonet? And this is a gigantic plugta that dates back to the time of the Vilna Gaon, whether you could be chayv for both makev patish and a different malach at the same time. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that makev patish begins where the other 38 malachas end. There's no overlap between makom patish and any other malacha. So you can't be chayav mishum bona and at the same time mishum makom patish. But let's say Lu Yitzuyer, he makes a nekev gadol and it takes him two pushes, you know, with the drill. And in the first push, he has a nekev that accomplishes the goal of lahachnis and lahotzi, and then he pushes a little further and he does the gemar malacha, that would be sufficient. Where do we find a precedent? That's what I'm trying to work on, to this chiddush of the Tal Oros, which I think is a radical chiddush in makom patish. Perhaps that's the case of Mesates, according to Shmuel, in the second pshat of Rashi. If you got that. Because Rashi in the Mishnah says, Yesh Mekomos, three lines down from the top, Sherigilim Lachrotz Bo Charitzim. Charitzim, Charitzim, Be'eretz Ashkenaz. So Rashi tells us that back in the day, and I think it's still contemporary, what they did was when they prepared the bricks and the stones for building, they would make beautiful designs in the bricks and in the stones. And if you could imagine, in the world of automation, there's something called, I'm forgetting the word for it now, an assembly line. For example, if you go out to Detroit, I don't know if they're still producing cars in Detroit. I know there was quite a financial collapse over there. But anyway, wherever they're producing the cars, you can go to Italy, you'll see that there are various assembly lines. You know, each person adds something to, this one's making the tires, this one's making the body of the car, and this one's making, you know, the cylinders, the engines, whatever it is, there's kama v'kama different assemblies. As Rashi says, when they were preparing the stones for building, there were the Osei Charitzim. That was their job in the assembly line. They added the decorative, aesthetic beauty at the end of the thing. So Rashi says that you could be chayev for Mesates simply by completing the last charitz. Whoever puts in the last of these charitz, it's Ashkenaz, he is chayev from Meleches Makom Patish. That would be according to Shmuel. Again, we have to work out Rav according to Rashi, but according to Shmuel. Is Memela, if we can take that and apply it here to the case of the lul, so Enochinami, there was one person whose job it was to complete the lul by adding a nekev that would bring in the R, the Avir, and then there was another person who would perhaps expand that Nekev, make it into a Nekev Gadol, in order to facilitate the Hotzah Asahevel. So Rashi is saying that even though, from the perspective of the entire structure, it's very difficult to assume that the Nekev Katan could be considered a Gmar Malacha, why would Shmuel maintain that Yechai Mishum Makom Patish? But the answer is that in terms of that assembly line, that's the clincher, that's the Makom Patish.
I don't understand. We got closer to answering the question that I had from the very beginning. I don't understand what the Radbaz's problem necessarily is, though, with Shmuel. The problem would be with Rav, because we have the sugya of tsar tsir on a kli. He's chayv b'gamakav patish, and the Rambam says mefurish it's even tchilas hatsir, meaning to say that if the nekev, if the makav patish, if the gemar malacha is a whole, So the way I understood Makom B'Patish was the minute I poke any hole, even if it's not big enough, I should be chayav Makom B'Patish.
Based on Allah of Tzar Tziur.
Right, and
so I don't know. I'll tell you the truth, Adam. I can't cover everything. No. You should honestly. I'm telling the truth. This sugya that we're covering now would take a month. I'm not joking with you. I'm not trying to be dramatic. There are so many dimensions to this. If you would ask me, without the Rambam, I would tell you that Tzar Tzir is Chayav Yishuv Makom B'Patish when he finishes the Tzir, not when he starts the Tzir. So that, you know, that Rambam has to be studied. Now, I want to throw in another point here in terms of Shmuel. The Rashba, in Chidushi HaRashba, adds a few words that I thought were interesting. And he writes, V'hada pligi hacha Shmuel, V'omar mishum makom b'patish. And finally, I see someone who's asking the question, why according to Shmuel are you not chayav mishum bona? Which I think is a basic issue in the sugya. He writes, Mishum the Svirilahu, Shmuel holds, the bedavar muat kazeh leka binyan. Elachayev Mishum gumar malacha dahainu makom b'patish. So the Rashba coins a phrase over here, which I think is very important, and that is davar muat. Now, as soon as you read this Rashba about a davar muat, and you're not chayav mishum bona in a davar muat, what's the first question you have to ask yourself?
Well, how do you have to finish that?
The whole sugya here is kaldu, right? And the Gemara gives three different tziurim and three different mishkans. So I think what the Rashba means, and again, everyone's invited to analyze the Rashba, but I think what he means is there's a difference between kamus and echus, meaning when the Rashba says, well, let's say in the Rashba's frame of reference, when the Mishnah and the Gemara establishes that yechayev for a binyan koldehu, it means that from a point of view of, shall we say, kamus, let's say kamus, meaning in terms of, you know, how much did you actually accomplish here? You know, what do we see? What's nika to the ayin? What you did was you made a little guma. You know, it's a little bit humble, shall we say. It's not so profound. We don't see, you know, it's not something that you would get up on the rooftops and scream at the top of your lungs, wow, look what he did. You know, at the end of the day, maybe he twisted in pitpute kira here, or he put a little aver in a hole. Yeah. Why is he chayef a koldu? Because from the perspective of the accomplishment, it's a tremendous accomplishment. I don't think that that's what the Rashba is talking about here in the context of Shmuel. According to Shmuel, the Rashba is saying that this is a davar muat, not bekamus but beechus, meaning in terms of the gemar malacha, in terms of the accomplishment. Shmuel maintains that when I look at the binyan, I have to see that something, if I could call it a ripple effect, you know, something affected the entire binyan. You might be able to clog up a little teeny hole, and it doesn't look like you did much. But, you know, now I can live in this house and I don't have to worry that the rain is coming in. So that's not something that Shmuel denies. You know, that's called a binyan koldu because it has a tremendous impact on the entire structure and its ability to function as a binyan. Shmuel is bothered by the case where you have a nekev katan and you want to call that binyan. What have you accomplished now? The chickens are still dying of hevel. And therefore, although you accomplish one goal, and again, within the context of your malacha, maybe I can call it a gemar malacha, but I couldn't call it malacha's binyan, says the Rashba, because that's a binyan, not koldehu, but he calls a binyan ma'at. And I think what he means by a binyan ma'at is that if we could somehow gauge, or if we had a barometer to evaluate what accomplishment have you done in terms of the binyan? You know what? You can't sell this lul on the marketplace. It doesn't have a nekev that will allow the hevel to go out. Okay. But now, Rabosa, I want to get to the main discussion for today. And that's the Rambam. The Rambam, as the Kesef Mishnah and the Lechem Mishnah point out, contradicts himself left, right, and center. All over the place. Who does the Rambam paskin like? So on the one hand, if you open up to Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Gimel, The Rambam has the case of Kupina b'mara, and he says that Yechayev Mishum Bona, Chayin HaTokea Eitz B'Eitz, etc., etc. Reza told us Bona V'Chayev. Again, we have to understand why when you add the handle to the shovel, Yechayev Mishum told us Bona, why isn't that an Avmalach of Bona? That's, if it's Hashem, I'm still hoping we can get to that today. It's a beautiful chiddush here from Rabbi Zalman Meltz, which radically changes our whole understanding of what the Av of Melech's Bona is and what the Tol is. But in any event, clearly the Rambam paskins like Rav with regard to the case of Shufta Bekupina Demar. Then we read Halacha Yudalit, the case of Nekev Sheltarnagolin, Belul Sheltarnagolin, Hosa Nekev Kolshu, Belul Sheltarnagolin, Kedei Lahachnis Lahem Ora, Chayav Mishum Bona. Once again, the Rambam accepts the Shita of Rav with regard to the case of Nekev Belul Sheltarnagolin, Chayav Mishum Bona. So far, so good. Then the headaches begin. Why? Because the Rambam, you have to skip one halacha, but in Tes Zayin, the Rambam says, Ha'osa nekev kol shehu, bein b'yetz, bein b'binyan, he explicitly mentions a binyan, bein b'mateches, bein b'kelim. Hareza told us, makev apatish, v'chayav. You certainly get the impression that the Rambam here is accepting Shmuel against Rav, because it was Shmuel who said that a nekev kol shehu is chayav mishum makav apatish, and Rav disagreed. And if you're not satisfied with that stira, says the Kesef Mishnah, then fast forward to Perek Shlosha v'yester in Perek Chaf Beis. Chav Gimel, excuse me. Ha'osa nekev shu asui lahachnis lahotzi kigon nekev belul sheltarnagolim. Says the Rambam, harei uchayev mishum makev apatish. The plot also goes thicker because in Halacha Yud Ches in Perek Yud, the Rambam says ha'masate ises ha'even chayev mishum makev apatish, which is again Shmuel. The Gemara seems to assume that Rav and Shmuel are arguing in all these cases with the same plukta. And the Rishonim and the Achronim are working very hard to understand what that plukta is. If you take the Radbaz, then the plukta is about a nekev katan, which is only lahachnis or, he hasn't completed the job yet, and therefore Rav says Yichai Mishum Bona. Shmuel says he did complete the job, although he only did part of the job, but at least there's a Gemara Malacha there, and he's Chai Mishum Makev Apatish. And the same kind of logical approach we have to apply to the other cases that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. For example, the case of Misates, is that called Derech Binyan? So Rav would say, well, this prepares the stone for the building. And Shmuel says, no. What change have you made in the building? Nothing. And even one stone. And you have to ask again, this is another question that we have to ask, is according to Shmuel, why is the Gemara say that Mitzadeh is Chayav Mishum Bona, according to Shmuel? I don't know exactly what change has he made, but I guess every stone, insofar as it's put in its place, becomes part and parcel of the building, and therefore that's called Bona. But in the case of a Nekev Katan, which is only Lahachnis Lahotzi'ar, excuse me, Lahachnis'ar, but not Lahotzi'hevel, that's not called a major change in the building. You try to improve the lul, and you failed miserably. And that's what the Rashba calls a slight change. He calls it muat. A binyan muat, according to Shmuel, is lav shmei binyan. And according to Rav, it's a shmei binyan. So what do we do with the Rambam? How do we reconcile this Rambam? So I want to start again with the Radbaz. The Radbaz says the following. If you read the Rambam carefully, you will see that in Halacha Yudalit of Perek Yud, the Rambam says Ha'osa nekev kol shehu, it's a small nekev, b'lul shel tarnagolim, kidei she'ikonis lahem ora. What does the Rambam omit here in Perek Yud Halacha Yud Dalid? He leaves out Hevel. Is that's the case, says Radbaz l'shitaso, in which Rav established that a nekev katan is enough of a structural change in the lul, it improves the lul, at least as far as hachnosas or, and therefore yichai mishum bonen. That has nothing to do with the Rambam, says the Radbaz, in Perek Chaf Gimel. There the Rambam says, Ha'osa Nekev, he leaves out Kol Shehu, Asui Lahachnis Ulahotzi. It's both Lahachnis and Lahotzi. Kigo Nekev Shebelul Atarnagolim, Shehu Asui Lahachnis Ora, Ulahotzi Ahevel. Hareza Chayev Mishum, Makeb Patish. Here you have a Gemara Malacha, says Radbaz, because now the chickens can thrive in this coop. It's Lahachnis Ulahotzi, it's a neck of Gadol. That's the Gemara Malacha. Again, would you be Chayev from Aleches Bona as well? I don't know, the Rambam leaves out Bona, but maybe the Rambam holds Pshita. I don't even have to teach you about Bona, because this is the greatest structural change you can make to the Lul by creating a Nekev that's also Lahachnis Lahotzi. I don't know. But in any event, the Rambam says, Yechayad Mishum Makim Apach. That's not a stira to the Rambam Perk Yud, where he's addressing the case of a Nekev Kol Shehu, which is only Kedei Lahachnis Lahem Ora. That's not a Gmar Malacha, that doesn't complete the lull, and therefore it could not be Chayev Mishum Makeh Bepatish. It's only Chayev Mishum Bona. And basically, if we want to summarize the Radbaz in the Rambam, he's saying that according to the Rambam, if I'm involved in the process of building, and I have achieved something, but I haven't accomplished the complete building, I'm chayav mishum bona. If, on the other hand, I complete the building, then I'm chayav mishum makeh bepatish, and therefore, if it's a neck of katan, kidei she'ikonis lahem ora, that's a structural change that is absolutely necessary, but it doesn't complete the job. And therefore, he's chayav mishum bona. But if he creates a nekev shalasui laora ulahotzi hevel achnis ora ulahotzi hevel, that's called completing the binyan. You completed the process, and even Rav would say in such a case that yechayev mishum meleches makim v'patish. But here, Rav Osai, I would like to study with you a chiddush of the Tal Oros again in the name of the Rokeach. He writes the following. This is to answer up the stiris in the Rambam. I'm just going to read it very quickly. It says, Omnom ani atzair matzasi b'sefer maisa Rokeach shehevi sham chidushim ala Rambam zal. Migaonim Kadmonim. The Rokeach himself quotes from centuries earlier. The Kosav Shom, Beperek Asiri, quotes the Rokeach in Perek Yud, Milchus Shabbos Zelashono, Ose Nekev Belul Shel Tarnagolim, Pirush, Im Niskavein Basias HaNekev, Lahachnis Ha'or Bilvad, Chayav Mishum Bone. And here's the punchline. Shehu Ke'ose Chalonos Labais. It's like he made windows to the house. Now, I think, I can't promise you, that what he has in mind is Rashi here on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Rashi says, with regard to Nekev Belul Shel Tarnagolim de Dami LeBinyan, Rashi says, Sha'af bebinyan abatim osim nekovim li'avir kid'omar. As the Gemara says, v'avdi la'avira chorim v'chalonos. The emphasis here is that with regard to a binyan abayis, there's something called making a chalon. And Rashi's telling us that Rav, by subsuming nekev belul shel tarnagolim under meleches boneh, is referring to a chalon. And that's what he says over here, that this nekev becomes a chalon labayis. And the purpose of the chalonos labayis was to bring in light. He says, however, aval im niskaven basias hanekev lahachnis ora ulahotzi ahevel chayev mishum makev bepatish ubeperekhov gimel kosav vizelshono nekev shebelul, and there the Rambam says yechayev mishum makev bepatish. That's a case where the machsheves haose is lahachnis ulahotzi, as the Rambam spells it out. Lefichach haose nekev bilul shel tarnagolim im niskavin shei asui kidei lahachnis ora ulahotzi ahevel chayev mishum makev bepatish shezeu gmar meleches halul v'im niskavin lahachnis ora bilvad chayev mishum bone keose chalonos habayis. I think, Rabosai, that this chiddush of the Tal Oros, in order to reconcile the steer in the Rambam, is very different, although it sounds similar to, but it's very different than the Radbaz. According to Tal Oros, we have to ask one question. Is the lul functional without the nekev? In Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Dalid, the Rambam is talking about a lul that has a nekev. It already has a nekev, but he decides that he wants to expand the nekev in order to bring in more light. That's why he's chayav mishum bone. Why? Because dafka, because the lul was functional before he made this nekev, that's why he's chayav mishum bone. Counterintuitive, no? He says the reason why in Perek Yud Yechayev mishum meleches bone is because he's creating a chalon. And Rashi says that a chalon is avidi le'avira. When they built a building and they made windows in the building, the purpose of those windows was to bring in light, to bring in air. And that becomes dummy libinyan. So if he makes a nekev, not for the purpose of making this lul functional, but on the contrary, he wants to improve the lul. He wants to expand the nekev so that more and more light will come in, will enter into the lul. He's chayav mishum bone. Why? Because there's a separate category called creating chalonos that makes it into derech binyan. But in Perek Chof Gimel, there the Rambam's talking about a case of a lul that's sasum. It has no openings whatsoever. And if you take a look at Rashi, Dibri Amaskil lul shel tarnagolim, in the middle of the wide lines in Rashi, Rashi says, Makev epatish, no, below that, lul shel tarnagolim shel etu visasum. Rashi says that this lul shel tarnagolas is sasum. That's the case in which there's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel Yechai Mishum Bone or Yechai Mishum Makev epatish. It's sasum. That's the case of the Rambam in Perek Chof Gimel. Since it's sasum, and the lul is non-functional as is, he creates an opening in order to bring light in and to take the hevel out. He's making it into functional. That transition between a non-functional lul and a functional lul is called makev epatish. If, on the other hand, the lul already has a nekev in it, but he wants to expand that nekev to bring in more light, that's called meleches bone. And why? Because it's derech binyan b'kach. And why is it derech binyan? Because it has the shem chalon. It has the status of a chalon. So what? I just have one problem. I mean, I'm very excited about this chiddush. My only problem with this chiddush is that I mentioned this before in a different form with a different twist. In Perikov Gimel, the Rambam says he's chayav mishum makav patish. And according to the Taloris, in the name of the Rokeach, who's quoting the Kadmonim, the reason he's chayav mishum makav patish is because we're dealing with a lul sasum, and he's creating a lul that's functional. Now, if that be the case, why shouldn't he be chayav mishum boner? See, I understand very beautifully the Rambam in Perek Yud, he cannot be chayav mishum makav patish because by creating this chalon, he's not making the transition between a non-functional lul and being gomer malachto and creating a functional lul. There already is a hole in the lul. Ella what, he decides that he wants to expand the and hakol holeh basa kavana, if his intention is to expand the lul, that could not be Gmar Maleches Halul. He cannot be Chayav Mishum Makav Apatish. He can only be Chayav Mishum Boneh because of Chalonos. That's fine. But the flip side, when you get to the Rambam in Perikov Gimel, and there the Rambam says that you're Chayav Mishum Makav Apatish, is that to the exclusion of Boneh? Why should he be chayav mishum boneh? He's taking a lul that has no nekev, it's sasum, and he makes it into a functional lul. Is that not derech binyan? Well, that's the Rama means, as we said before, pshita maika mashmalim. We already have our definitions of boneh in Perek Yud. He doesn't feel compelled, again, this is not my style in the Rama, to repeat himself and tell you that you chayav mishum boneh. Or if you go like those Rishonim that you can never be chayav mishum two malachas, boneh and makom apatish, so then the question arises, so why do you choose makom apatish? Why does that trump malachas boneh? That's where I got stuck. Now here, I want to share with you a chiddush of one of the early Sephardim of the Achronim. I don't know if you ever heard of the Yitzchak Iranen. Okay, his name was Gatinyo. He lived in Greece back in the day. And he has Chidushim on the Rambam, which are quoted extensively in the Frankel edition of the Rambam. And he writes that the Rambam in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Dalid, is Myri, he's referring to a case where he makes a Nekev for the first time in the Lul on Shabbos, and the Nekev is Osui Lahachnis Ulahotzi. Just the exact opposite of what we said in the name of the Rokeach. And he's Chayav Mishum Boneh, because what he does is he makes the transition between a lul that's non-functional and a lul that is functional, because he made it into a Nekev that's Osli Lahachnis Ulahotzi. That's why he's Chayav Mishum Boneh. Pungfaket from what we said in the Taloros, because the Taloros says he was just expanding the existing Nekev in order to allow more light in. No, he's letting everything go in. And why is he chayav mishum boneh, not makav patish? And the answer is because he's making a nekev that's osli lahachnis ulahotzi. Now we fast forward to Perikov Gimel. Airi, why there is he chayav mishum makav patish? Be ofen shan nekev hayakvar osui me'erev Shabbos. The Rambam is addressing a case where there already was a Nekev before Shabbos. V'ubala hosif all of the Shabbos. V'biofen zeh writes, hachiyuv urak mishum makav patish. Why? Because if you make a Pesach chadash. He says the following. Shalorak bePesach Chodosh Chayav Mishum Makav Patish El Afilu Hosofa Al Pesach Kayom Nesra Mishum Makav Patish. So Rabbi Osa, if we compare these two shitos,
he says that.
Well, he's assuming one of the three answers of the Radbaz. I don't know which one, but we're definitely talking about a lul, and the question is whether a lul is a kli or not. You know, that's debatable. But I just want to, just for a moment, compare and contrast these two approaches to the Miyashiv, the Steer, and the Rambam. One approach is to say that the Rambam in Perek Yud is Mechayev Mishum Bona because you're expanding, you've already completed the law, and there's something called Chalonos. And if you're creating a Chalon, then you're Chayev Mishum Bona because that's the Derech Binyan to create a Chalon. And even though it's only Lahachnis Avir, that's exactly the purpose of a Chalon, and therefore Yechayev Mishum Leches Bona. On the other hand, the Rambam in Perek Chav Gimel is talking about a case where the lul is sasum, and therefore you have to restructure the lul by creating a nekev that's lahachnis ulahotzi, because otherwise the chickens are going to starve and they're going to die. And that's called Meleches Makim Patish. I don't know where Meleches Bona fell to the wayside. That I don't know. Then we get to the Yitzchak Yeranim, and he says just the opposite. The Rambam in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Dalid, is talking about someone who made a new Nekev on Shabbos. There was nothing before that. That's called a structural change. And therefore, since it's Asui, Nekev Asui Le, Hachnes Ulahotzi, he's Chayav Mishum Leches Bona. That part I can accept. Although it's very hard to push into the Rambam that it's a nekev lahachnis ulahotzi. I didn't see that in the Rambam. Then he goes on to say that the Rambam in Halacha Tezayin ha'osa nekev kol shehu is chayv mishumakev epatish. That's a case where the nekev is only lahotzi and not, it's only lahachnis and not lahotzi.
And he's chayv.
And he's chayv not mishum boneh. Because again, he hasn't really solved his problem. He's chayev mishum makim apatish. He doesn't explain why. Maybe we have to go back to the original chiddush of the Tal Oros that we spoke about. That at least it's functional in one sense. It's like the charitzim case, and that's enough to engender makim apatish. The Rambam in Perek Chof Gimel is talking about a guy who made this nekev erev Shabbos. All he wants to do on Shabbos is expand it, and therefore, even though he's not creating a Pesach Chadash, he's being Mosif al Pesach Kayam. Nevertheless, it comes under the Malacha of Makeh B'Patish. I just want to mention that the Magen Avraham in our Chaim Siman Shin Yud Dalet Sifkan Gimel is so impressed, he's so overwhelmed by the stir in the Rambam, that he gives the following answer. He says the Rambam in Perek Yud is talking about a lul that's mechubar lekarka, and that's why Yechayev Mishum Leches Bona. And therefore, when you make the nekev, you're Chayev Mishum Bona. In Perek Chof Gimel, the Rambam is talking about a lul she'edo mechubar lekarka, and therefore ain't binya bekelim, and he can't be Chayev Leches Bona. He's Chayev from Meleches Makim Patish. Beautiful answer. If you're willing to write, you know, rewrite the text of the Rambam. You know, there's a whole line missing here and an whole line missing there. At least the other Akronim are trying to push this into the Rambam.
You either have to rewrite the Rambam or you have to rewrite the Gemara. All the other Akronim we just saw, all the Rishonim Akronim, are rewriting the Gemara. Gemara is pretty clear. Not like I did. It's very interesting.
Well, actually, the Gemara doesn't specify exactly what the nature of the nekev is. You know, that we have to really read into the Rambam. You know, the Rambam has one nekev shalul shaltanigom yichai mishum bone. Another nekev in Perkov Gimel yichai mishum makim apatish. Now go rack your brains and figure out what's the difference between this nekev and that nekev. You know, you can have a whole Purim spiel about hilchus nekovim and nekovim, etc.
Because we have a machlokes whether or not you're allowed to be meisif on a nekev and a kli. According to the Tanakhama, you could be meisif on a nekev. We pass on the yishayimim, but that's mashma that the iser of hasafas nekev and a kli is derbonon.
Ah, he's assuming this Yitzchak Irane that hosafas nekev bekli is chayev doraisa shumakim bepatish, and that's the Rambam Perek Chof Gimel. But it's got to be a significant hosafa. It's got to be lahachnis ulahotzi, and he's basically saying that even though there was a nekev there erev Shabbos, he's still chayev shumakim bepatish. What's the Rambam Perek Yud? There, the Rambam is talking about a case where there's no nekev there, and if you create a nekev, but it's got to be lahachnis ulahotzi, which I don't see in the Rambam, then you chayv mishum aleches bonus. So that's one approach. I have here a very old sefer called the Nishmas Adam. Okay? And this is written by Rav Avram Danzig, you know, Danzig, the author of the... I don't know if he's in the video. No, he was already gone by then.
It's going to be original.
Yeah. This is not original, I have to admit it. That's why I got it cheap. But it's from the year 1820. But this is an original, if we have time, Merkava Samishna. This is the Yikara Mitzvah. So three volumes, the original. You know, I had to buy them separately and put them together into a set. That took a long time. But don't learn from any of my bad habits, by the way. It's not good for Shalom Bayis. I'm telling you right up front. Unless you're a millionaire, you know. So the Nishmas Adam, what time is it? Okay, I don't know if we're going to read through the whole Nishmas Adam, but let me just share with you how pressed he is by this stira in the Rambam. And he says here on Klal Mem Aleph, it's this paragraph here, which I tried to photocopy for you, but it didn't come out. He says the following, that there's one lul shel tarnagolim where you make a nekev, and the nekev is litzorech hachnosas avir ulahotzas hevel. And Yechayev Mishum Boneh, and he says, why? Mishum Shu Domele Chalonos Bibatim. Beautiful. And that we saw already in the Taloros in the name of the Rokeach. He didn't know about the Taloros in the name of the Rokeach. But he came up with that idea as well, that you could be Chayev Mishum Boneh if you do a Derech Binyan, a Maisa Pulas Binyan, of creating a Chalon that's Lahachnis Ulahotzi. But he says, that's only, listen carefully, Lahachnis Avir Ulahotzi Hevel. But he says that if you make a nekev in a binyan for the purpose of not bringing in light or air, but for other purposes, then he says he's not chayav mishum binyan. He's only chayav mishum makom patush. In other words, what Rav Avram Danzig is laying down here is the following chiddush, that the halach of chalonos, which means lahotzi lahachnis Avir and Lahotzi Hevel, that's a unique halacha that only applies in a Lul Shel Tarnagolis. Another addition to our Purim Spiel for this year. What is the separate Gzeres HaKosev of a Lul Shel Tarnagolis? Says the Nishmas Adam, it's Mamish in his Neshama, that it only in a Lul Shel Tarnagolis is there a halacha of creating a chalon and generating a chiyuv of boneh, because in a Lul Shel Tarnagolis, the Nekev is specifically part of the entire, shall I say, Derech Binyan of bringing light in and air in and taking the foul air out. In other cases of Binyan, if you're interested in Lahachnis Lahotzi, he says it can't be for Avir, it can't be for Hevel, he says it's got to be for Dvarim Acherim, it's for other purposes. I don't know, you're bringing in objects inside, take them out, whatever it is, and for that you would not be Chayev for a Nekev, you would have to do a Binyan Mamish. Before we end, I just want to mention to you a tremendous chiddush here in this sugya from Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, which was originally published in the Knesset Yisrael. I couldn't get a hold of it, but it was republished in the Evan Ozel. If you look in our Gemara, the Gemara assumes that you're chayev for creating this shovel, which means that you put the pieces of the shovel together. You attach the handle to the end of the shovel. And the Rambam goes out of his way when he paskins like Rav to add a few words. And he writes, Hareze tolas bone v'chayev. So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer wants to understand, why is it that attaching these parts together is chayev mishum tolas bone? V'shem atomer, and if you'll say, well, it's kalim, so then tell me that ain't binyan v'kalim. Ella what? If you create a new kli that was non-functional before, then yechayv mishum bona, even though it's a kli. Ein binyan v'kalim is the case of hachzoras haprakim, hachulios, where you're reassembling a kli. But when you're creating a kli brand new, it's non-functional, you know, you've got the shovel part and the handle part, what am I going to do? I attach them together with the yaseid, that's galayel b'shufina demara, then I'm chayv mishum leches bona, but the Rambam is emphatic that yechayv mishum told us bona. And here Rabbi Zalman has a beautiful chiddush. And if we have a month's time, I'd like to check this chiddush out. It has tremendous ramifications about different shishin and avin and told. And I don't know if the stipler is not happy with it, but I think it's a beautiful chiddush. I mean, he doesn't need my approval, but he says the following: that meleches boneh, according to the shitas Rambam, has to have one of two elements as far as the av is concerned. We'll get to the tolda. The tolda could have. Let me say it again. In order to have the av of meleches boneh, you need two elements. The tolda could have one without the other. What are the two elements that define meleches boneh? He says, number one, that you assemble parts and you attach them together to create a new entity. And number two, that entity, in order to be an av, has to be a structure. It has to be an oil kavua. Okay, there's also give oil shayna kavua, but an oil kavua. And only if you have both A plus B can you engender the av of meleches boneh. Says Rav Issa Zalman, the Rambam paskins that megaben is a tolda of boneh. Why isn't it an av of boneh? Says Rav Issa Zalman, because megaben has only one of the two elements that define the av malach of meleches boneh. It's madbik chelek al chelek ad shenasu guf echad, but it's not a structure. It's not an ol kavua, and therefore can only be a tolda. Says Rav Issa Zalman, if you create an ol, then that too might be a tolda. It all depends. How did you create the ol? If it's made out of one sheet of R with an ayin, like we've been talking today about R with an aleph, but let's shift to an R with an ayin, then, says Rav Issa Zalman, that's only a tolda meleches boneh. Although you have an old kavua, but it's not madvik chelek al chelek. The case of kupina demara, which the Rambam paskens here in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Gimel, that's a case where you're madbik chelek al chelek. But the Rambam is quick to point out that since it's not an ol, it's not a structure, therefore it's not an av, it's a tolda. Says Rav Issa Zalman, if you're missing both A and B, then you're not chayim mishum meleches boneh. Meleches boneh has to have one of the two. Either you take chalokim, you attach them together until they form one new entity, right, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Or alternatively, you create an ol kavua. Now, there's a coin to Rav Issa Zalman. If, let's say, I dig a cave underground, and I could live in that cave, that would make it into an ol kavua, but it would not be an av, because it's not madvik chelek al chelek. The Rambam says that if you're mashvigumos, either because you have a tail and you flatten out the ground so it's all straight, it's all level, or says Rambam, if let's say you have an indention, you have an indentation in the ground, you have a guma, and you add offer into the guma, the Rambam says you're chayav for the av malach of boneh. And Rav Issa Zalman struggles with this. Where is the av malach? He says the following: since it's part of a structure, meaning it's the ground of the structure, we're talking a bias, I forgot to mention that, therefore you have the first element of the av malach, namely it's an ol kavua. Number two, he says that when you put the afar into the guma, that is considered madbik chelek al chelek. Das versteh, that I can understand, that's already an av. But the Rambam says, even to be mashveh, if you have a tail and you flatten it out, you pound it down, I find that hard to believe that that's called madvik chelek al chelek. Why is that an av malacha? But be that as it may, I think the chiddush here of Rav Issa Zalman, as far as I can tell, he's the first one who really tackled this. And if you get a chance, I don't know, I asked some of the fellows in the Kollel if they're familiar with the Sefer, and they told me no, and I can't believe we're learning Shabbos without being familiar with the Sefer. There's a Sefer by Rav Gedalia Felder. It's called Yesod Yeshurun. A number of people had told me they never heard of it. It's a Gevaldige Sefer. you want to know about Lego, you want to know about anything that's related to Binyan, go check it out in Rav Gedalia Feld. The only problem is, I don't know what my copy is. I spent an hour on HebrewBooks.org, but the problem with HebrewBooks.org, if you don't have, you know, the actual copy of the Sefer, you have to do what's called Divtuv, and it's a pain in the neck if you don't know where to find it. And there's no very good table of contents to the Sodi Yeshur. But in any event, he has 7 volumes. We only need 2 of the volumes. The other volumes are geared to other parts of our Chaim. And I had the schus of knowing him. He was a gvaldig. I remember I once asked the Rav Shaila, and he wouldn't give me an answer. And I asked him 50 times over the course of months. So finally I said, Rebbe, I think I got the message. You don't want to answer this question. He said, you got the message, Berzon. Like as if to say, it took you a little bit too long time. So he said, I think you should ask somebody else. So then he said to me, and who are you going to ask? I said, Rav Gedalia Feld. He says, and tell me what he said. You know, he was mocked to tell me that. Rav Gedalia Feld was probably the most outstanding, or at least one of the 2 or 3 most outstanding Talmidim of Moshe Feinstein. And he writes so beautifully. And he takes all the malachas apart, and he analyzes them, and he brings you modern, you know, contemporary questions on Malachas Kosev. Somebody said he's learning Kosev here. On Kosev, he has all the fascinating issues about Kosev. You know, the computers and the whole bit. So you should know about that sefer. It's called by Rav Gedalia Feld, Yisodei Yeshur. I realize how late it is.